This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
All right, gearheads, welcome back to Speed City. It's John Massengill sitting with Les Kaiser.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Jonathan Green is still over in Monaco doing the historic Formula One over there. It's really amazing. But Les, what do you think about the race today?
Hey, I was happy Spanish for Grand Prix. I was happy with that race. Great entertainment. The strategy around the tires and all those question marks that we had around the tires and the surface really played out. First lap definitely turned out exciting. We'll talk about some of that. Some of it not so happy, though.
Yeah, our Haas boys not looking good. But Lewis Hamilton wins the race. And it was a little processional with Lewis Hamilton out front most of the race today. But I
think Ferrari's going to rethink some pit strategy there.
Yeah, that was, I know why they did it. Thinking that Mercedes would pit again, but that 5.1 second pit stop.
Yeah. 5.1 will kill you no matter when you do it. But, I understand the logic. When they're out there in a safety car situation, quite often that is the best time to pit because all the cars on track are moving slower.
Yep. Well, we're really excited because we are now waiting on a call from the mayor of Miami. And the reason that we're going to talk to the mayor of Miami is if you've been living under a rock and a Formula One fan, is that Miami has announced that they are planning for a Formula One race on the streets of Miami.
Oh, that's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be fun. That's an interesting layout. I'm excited. You know, as Bob Barsha says, they've done it before. It was all good. I think we'll be excited to see how that plays out for the Formula One race itself. That's a great venue, great destination city. It's so international. I was there last week, checking out a lot of the things going on there, and I picked us out a restaurant guy, and so we're gonna have races, we're gonna have good food, great entertainment. But it's one of those things. Miami is already a destination from people from around the world, as I saw, and lots of cool things going on around Miami. Besides, I have no doubt having the F1 circus come to town is just going to reinforce that and make it even bigger.
Yep, it's going to be very exciting. I'm really excited to talk to the mayor because we've been through that here in Austin. We've been through a lot of this. I mean, I know we had a purpose-built circuit, but we've been through a lot of the same challenges and a lot of same things that they're going to have to deal with. And I want to ask him about what their plans are. And so we're going to have the mayor on hopefully here shortly. But the rest of the race, Les, so something that jumps out at me, of course, is the fact that the Haas cars were fast, and but at the start of the race, when Grosjean spun out, was that he kept his foot in it, you know, and caused that huge smoke.
Yeah, that's what you do for multiple reasons. I'm curious to, you know, what he was thinking when he did it, if that was a temper tantrum or there was something going on, his foot, you know, is off the pedal and pinned or something. But to me, honestly, the jockeying that went on during that first lap looked as though Kevin Magnussen may have dodged something. And Grosjean reacted to him, and that caused Grosjean's spin out.
Yeah, he was definitely reacting to Magnussen. It looked like maybe Magnussen just lost grip a little bit, and I couldn't tell. He was either dodging something, but it looked like he may have just lost grip. You know, it was the beginning of the race, fresh track, rain overnight, and a lot of cars were having trouble with traction at the beginning of the race, especially. So I think that that Magnussen just lost traction, and Grosjean was avoiding him. But putting his foot in it, I just wonder if he thought he was going to try to use that to get back in position and it just didn't work out the way he thought. I would think that's what he was doing.
I kind of think that the whole traction issues that everybody was having to begin with would have made him think more, step on that pedal like it's an eggshell, real easy and not hurt it. But him pinning it to the ground as it appeared what he did, definitely just sent everything up in smoke, created a cloud for everyone else, made difficult with that, and obviously didn't propel the car forward as fast as he wanted it to go.
Yeah, and of course took out, I mean, when that happened, it took out Hulkenberg and who else was out on that? Because it was, you know, it caused a bit of a mess, and, you know, and of course, Magnussen then went on to have a very uneventful race.
Hey, left him to his own, and he managed well. So that was good by me. You know, it shook up the front, though, with Raikkonen having his issue 20-some-odd laps in and told to park the car. That hurt. That's not going to go over well.
Yeah, all right. So what this does, of course, with Lewis Hamilton winning is extend his lead out over Sebastian Vettel. So it's been quite a swing, actually, if you think about it, for Mercedes, for Lewis Hamilton, because he was 17 points down, and I think this will put him 17 points up. So this is from the beginning of the season, that's a big swing for Lewis Hamilton. So what about the race of Lewis? I mean, he was out front most of the race, but he obviously was doing great. He was setting lap record after lap record during the race.
Yeah, all right. With that, he managed his tires well. I think Max did better. We got to, you know, seems like we're all picking on Max a little bit about his decisions and his approaches on track. But Max stayed on his tires 32 laps. And so Hamilton was not far from that. I think, you know, we got to rethink. Max does have his values in that. Hamilton lasted well, kept him out there. The virtual safety car at lap 42 helped out Vettel to get fresh tires. And so they didn't really get an opportunity to pay off with it, but kept him in the hunt.
Yep. And then, of course, Kimi Raikkonen out on lap 27 with a power unit problem. And we had several drivers out today with issues. We had Stoffel Vandoorne went out on lap 47th, and he was in 13th at the time. And, of course, Ocon went out on lap 40 with an engine. He had smoking problem. And that's when you spotted something off the side of the track, Les. That was a really, really good eye. Les was so excited here in the studio when he spotted the Mercedes pickup truck. We are in Texas, and he spotted that Mercedes pickup truck over there by Ocon's car.
Sorry, guys. I am from Texas.
That was funny. But, yeah, and, of course, that was right after Ocon went out. That was when Vettel pitted. He pitted on lap 42 and under the safety car, and then lost that position to Verstappen. I think that was probably one of the biggest stories of the race.
And you know, yes, it was. I was interested in seeing the way Hartley and Fernando Alonso were doing some battles there mid-race. That was excellent. I was glad to see those two come together just to validate that Hartley can race correctly and does race correctly, and he's still getting his feet under him for F1.
Yeah, that's true. Man, Hartley, he's going to be a popular driver. If he can stay in Formula One, he's going to be a popular driver because he's a very likable guy. And I think
it really is. And I'm going to challenge you. If you're not a Brendan Hartley fan, go back to speedcitybroadcast.com and look at some of our old interviews with him. We've been friends with him for about 6 years now, from early on and through his graduate into the Le Mans winning podium, things like that. So really a great guy.
You know, it is hard not to have a favorite, but he's such a nice guy. But one of the other things that happened, of course, was when Max Verstappen hit Stroll on lap 43 and broke his front wing. And then, what was it, half a lap later, a lap later, that piece of front wing came off and Sergio Perez went straight over it and on the right side of his car. And I didn't know if that was going to cause any problems, but they showed a replay. It didn't cause a puncture, which is what you might expect, but it caused some of that wing got stuck under Perez, Sergio Perez's car. And then later in the race, we saw the damage that caused.
Yeah, you know, I really, before we knew what was going on, we saw something under it. And my thoughts were that it might be interfering and start causing brake overheating. We've seen that in some of the races that they fine-tune the ductwork that leads to the brake rotors to keep them cool so critically. And if something were to get into that, it'd be real easy to overheat your brake ducts and then run into that issue of the braking inconsistency and all that kind of thing. Didn't hear that, but it absolutely did come into effect there. Max did not have any issues with it. He said he had brought it up that his end plate was broken and checking how things were going. And they said, yeah, we see it. Everything seems stable. We're good. Just keep on going. And so he did. You know, congrats for getting up to the second step, Max. That was well played. Very well played.
Yep. So today's race, if you didn't get all the winners, listen to the BBC guys. It was Lewis Hamilton won the race, of course. Valtteri Bottas in second. Max Verstappen third. Sebastian Vettel in fourth, Daniel Ricciardo fifth, Kevin Magnussen of the American Haas F1 team ran the loneliest race ever, and sixth place, Carlos Sainz.
Wait a minute, who?
Kevin Magnussen?
There you go, Haas, sixth. We got to stop and offer some praise.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, glad to see you there.
And Carlos Sainz sixth with Renault team, Fernando Alonso in eighth. Another good showing for the McLaren Renault team. Sergio Perez.
Yeah. You know, Alonso was talking about before the race that he's usually good for improving 4 to 6 spots, and he was really hoping so. And I thought that might be a little optimistic as far up in the crowd. It's easy to get those advances when you're back in the backfield, but when you're up in the mid, you know, stronger mid pack, which he's getting there now, I think that was a bit optimistic, but started 8th, landed 8th.
Yep. And Sergio Perez 9th, Charles Leclerc in 10th, Lance Stroll in 11th, Brendan Hartley 12th, Ericsson in 13th, Sergei Sirotkin in 14th. And then that was the end of the teams that finished the race. Stoffel Vandoorne, Ocon, Raikkonen, Grosjean, Gasly, and Hülkenberg all out. And of course, Grosjean taking out Gasly and Hülkenberg. Gasly was one I couldn't think of a while ago that during that first lap debacle for the Haas team. Hey, we got to be happy that Haas was in sixth place today with some nice points. Even though when you start teammates in the top 10, you hope for a lot more points than one in the points. But still, it was a good day for the Haas team. I'll take it.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about all the passing that we saw? Is that enough passing? Was there enough going on? Do we need to revisit the aero
Never
discussion
enough passing.
Again?
Yes, I was praying for rain. Yeah, I was I was wanting to see some rain towards the end of that race to shake things up a little bit. No, but seriously, to your point, I mean, look, that's always the thing in Formula One, right? You want to see more passing, and when all these cars, when thousandths of a second separate teammates and places in the grid, it's going to be hard. I mean, these cars are so evenly matched, and it's going to be hard to see passing. But yes, I wanted some more passing to answer your question directly.
Absolutely, always good for more passing. That is, you know, one of the things that I think every track wants to see. Every race, I want to see more of it. It was something else. Pirelli's change for the tires, you know, they made some subtle changes, and I think it worked out well. definitely on the green track, especially after the wash overnight. Good going on the tires. A lot of strategy did come into play.
Yep. So, of course, Hamilton was excited. I'm just seeing some of the quotes he's got out there. He was a lot more. He said, "I enjoyed this win more than the one I inherited in Baku 2 weeks ago," which he was lucky to win in 2 weeks ago. So you gotta wonder, is are we going to see a replay of 2017 where the beginning of the year looked really competitive and then Ferrari ran away with it again? I don't know. It doesn't feel like that this year. It feels too close, feels too tight. I don't think that's going to happen. But,
well, you know, I was questioning, speaking of Ferrari, I was questioning Vettel's dive into the pits. And, okay, it kind of made sense when you're talking about a safety car out on course and the pack is moving slower. Certainly you got a benefit for pitting at that time. One of the things that he's already put out is that staying out was not an option because they were going through tires too quickly today. May have looked wrong, but it wasn't. We just didn't have enough pace at the end. And so, that's one of the things they're obviously going to go back and talk about it. The lack of performance, if you will, from the Ferraris, even though they were doing quite well.
Well, it was exciting beginning of the race and exciting to see Haas do well. And we're going to talk a lot more about all of that. But let's go ahead and take our first break and stick with us because we are waiting to hear from the mayor of Miami to talk about the street circuit that's coming hopefully to Miami as soon as 2019. That would be amazing. They could put that together that quickly. All right, we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Speed City Live from Austin, Texas.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done or where you've done it or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Talk 1370.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. Good job, Brendan Hartley, today. But I was just watching a replay of the Roman Grosjean incident on the first lap, right?
Right.
And for one, I don't see why he was spinning his tires. I don't know why he had his foot in the gas. Who knows? I mean, look, he's spinning around in a Formula One car. It could have been even an accident, but I don't know why he did it. But the one thing that struck me, too, is Hülkenberg, you know, he hit Grosjean. He was trying to go around him and hit him. And it ripped that wheel off completely. Now, think about that. That's a little, you know, all of a sudden the halo discussion could come to play. It didn't, obviously, today. At least I haven't seen anything about that. But that wheel came off completely. In fact, there's another replay of it right here on the television right now. But that wheel came off and all the, you know, the tethers that they have.
Yeah, there's either two or three. I mean, there's multiple safety devices trying to keep it intact, but I think there's actually two tethers on that assembly to keep it close by. And so, you know, when you run into something like this, that wheel doesn't go out, become a weapon of its own. We've lost drivers to that kind of thing, and that's exactly what they're trying to deal with. But absolutely full light up, smoking the tires, comes through, takes out the left wheel off Gasly.
Yeah, actually off the Hulkenberg, but it took out Gasly as well. But yes, but that wheel was completely loose, and that is exactly why we have the halo, because we've seen tires come off before in Formula One, IndyCar, you name it, and it's a dangerous thing, and that's exactly why they have the tethers, but that's exactly why they were going to do the halo. So I thought it was unusual. We just got somebody tweet at us. Andy tweeted at us. He said, I'm going to quote this because I think this is a good day to talk about this. He said, today's race is exactly why the right thing to reduce the aero, despite the team's objections. Look what happened in IndyCar. Those races have been great. And to reduce the force field between the cars and promote better racing. Pretty hard to argue with that. And they're talking about all those things, those changes coming.
Absolutely. Andy, I agree with you. I think making the cars a little bit slipperier is going to be the way to add more action to the racing. Is it unsafe? Somebody's going to bring that up because that's always the go-to. If we make the cars slipperier, it's not as aero-packed, it's unsafe. And so somebody's going to bring that up. But we're dealing with the top elite drivers of the world. These are professionals. They can handle things like that. And, quite honestly, if the car gets slippery, they're going to have to be able to manage that. So I'm with you, Andy.
All right, I'm going to run down the driver standings, the fresh driver standings after the Spanish Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton now has a 17-point lead. I did my math right. So it's Hamilton with 95, Vettel with 78, Bottas with 58, Raikkonen with 48, Ricciardo right behind him at 47, Verstappen 33, Alonso in seventh at 32, Hülkenberg 22, Magnussen 19, and Sainz at 19. So Magnussen in the top 10 and Alonso in the top 10, which I know makes a lot of people happy.
You bet. You bet. That, is shaping up. There we go. We got a Red Bull and two Mercedes on the podium. Good going. Vettel was in fourth and attempting to close quick, though he wasn't. He just didn't have the pace. Hopefully they'll sort out what in the world is going on with Ferrari.
So I want to ask you about something else. We talked a moment ago about Verstappen's car when he had the wing damage, right? He hit Lance Stroll.
Yes.
Had the front wing damage and that little piece on the end cap. In this case, I think it was Mobile One that was on there.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, what I was going to say is that I'm always amazed at how well the cars do when they lose parts of that front wing and they end up having to stay out for whatever reason. It didn't seem to affect the car dramatically. You think about, like today, we had McLaren. It was a huge deal. It was when the McLaren's new front wing came out. It had 17 nostrils and 500 little winglets and all this crazy stuff. It must have cost a zillion dollars made of unobtainium. And then the thing, you get in the middle of the race, you smash it up, and parts that fall off, and nothing seems to make a difference.
I'll give you my take on that. I'm not sure I can be as well-versed as Mr. Matchett, but here's my thoughts. When they design that part, that they actually consider breaking it and it coming into contact during a race. And so that they put in a planned breakage point. That's my guess. I've never heard anybody else say it.
That's a good thought.
But I think,
like a crumple zone. But
yeah, it's like, okay, well, when this gets hit, we want it to break right here. So we're going to make that a little nano nothing degree more vulnerable, and it'll break this piece instead of another piece that would definitely be detrimental. So my thoughts are that is maybe they manage that as well as what's going to come off when you get an impact to that end plate. Like I said, nobody else has ever said that I've heard, but that's my thoughts
but
and
still,
planning.
Okay, so you plan on the part that you do plan on that. It's probably a good idea. But still, you're losing the aero or all the other, really that's what it's all about, is
sure.
The aero. You're losing the downforce. And, of course, it was just a part of that. And we don't know what else they can do, change any settings on the fly
sure.
to compensate for that. But it didn't seem to change Verstappen's pace at all, from what it looked like to me.
Sure. So, when you hit that ditch on the dirt road in what your Monte Carlo Impala Cutlass, whatever it was, did you have to steer a little bit different? That's probably happening.
That's true. In fact, here's a great picture of that. It was Mobile One that was on there. But yeah, it damaged the front wing pretty good. I'm just looking online and looking at some of the damage that was to that car, to the Red Bull car, and it was pretty good. And obviously the aero messed up pretty good. So. And speaking of that piece, that same piece is, and we talked about it hitting Sergio Perez going right over it. But did you see the fire under Sergio Perez's car? It was actually, I don't know if it was the piece stuck, rubbing the wheel, right, rubbing the asphalt, but there was actually fire from underneath Sergio Perez's car.
Yeah, and my suspicion is that piece wound up rubbing against that wheel. And, you know, we've seen things hit the wheel and cause those sparks and everything. And I just wonder if the resistance and the abrasive nature of it wound up causing that fire to flare up potentially on the Kevlar or whatever composite they're using on those pieces against the wheel material. I could totally believe that's happening with as fast as those things are moving.
Yeah, I could believe that as well. So, you know, I guess we were kind of due for a average race today because we've had some fantastic racing this year. And I definitely want to go back to that for a second because we've had major competition. We've had at any given moment, we weren't sure who was going to be able to win a race. It was no longer Ferrari dominating. I mean, Mercedes dominating every race. We had Ferrari looking good. We had Red Bull having excellent pace. Haas looking good. The Renault team looking good. Of course, Carlos Sainz again today, right behind Magnussen, finishing seventh. And you know, you forget Renault being another factory team. And so they've been looking strong all year. And, you know, again, that makes what the Haas team is doing even that more impressive, that they're able to do what they're doing with the budgets they're doing and stay ahead of a factory team like Renault.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. We had Bob Varsha on. And, you know, we challenged him. I challenged him and forget that you're American, if that's possible. How is Haas doing with where they are right now? And he echoed, you know, what we hoped for, and that is they're doing very well. This is where you want to be. Look at the grid this morning and see who else was in front of them. Well, it was the big three. No one else was in front of our Haas driver. So really pleased to see that it was just the two Ferraris, two Mercedes, and the two Red Bull up there. So that would bode very well. I'm happy with Haas right now.
Yes, sir. I am too. I can't complain. I know that today was not perfect with Grosjean crashing out, but still. Another good race from Charles Leclerc, finishing 10th today in the Sauber car. And obviously this kid's very talented and is going to have a fantastic career.
I agree. Don't look for him to leave anytime soon. I think he'll be sticking around. Sergei Sirotkin, I got to just question, how's he going to last? 3-spot penalty for today. Can't say it was his fault getting knocked out. But what do you think? Is he going to stick around?
I don't know. I think that we're going to have to wait and see with him because he's obviously done some good things in his career to get here, but I think we're just going to have to wait and see. I don't know yet, but let's keep going down the grid. We had Lance Stroll in the Williams car for Williams. It's got to be happy. I mean, I know we only had 14 cars finished today, but still, Williams has had such a poor year that you got to, that they have to be excited about an 11th place finish for Williams.
Well, he was ahead of Marcus Ericsson.
And yeah,
so
good point.
To me, that's a kudos point for anybody. Marcus is pretty phenomenal, even if he is in the back markers. But that's Sauber territory, to be quite honest, folks.
Yeah, it's true. And some of the other stories from today, probably one of the interesting ones is that I did hear Daniel Ricciardo. Did you notice when he came on the radio today? He was very polite when he was. It was just a point in time in the race when he was catching Verstappen, and he's very politely came on and said, It appears to be that I'm gaining on Verstappen, you know, in other words, alluding to possible team orders. But that was a different, it was obviously a little different tone after what happened last weekend.
Yeah, might have been kind of the underlying message is, make sure he knows I'm coming.
Yeah.
That's Daniel Ricciardo, though. I mean, when we, you know, yes, certainly it's a different environment when he's behind the wheel and he's dealing with a teammate he crashed with last time out. But, we talk about our first time meeting him here at Circuit of the Americas. Generally nice guy, just, you know, and each time we speak to him each year coming through, it's fun. Who else? Carlos Sainz, the Renault.
Yep.
Renault was looking good today. I'm pleased to see that. I'm always happy to see these other teams, you know, other than the obvious big three and Haas. But I'm always pleased to see when they're performing well and presenting some challenges to somebody. Their signs wound up in seventh. Great. Kudos, dude.
Yeah, obviously good ways for those guys, and they're going to be happy with that. I noticed that at one point, Ocon had a disaster of a pit stop. I haven't seen what happened, but remember his right wheel. They couldn't. It was something like.
Yeah, I think it was fix a flat can was dead or something. I don't know.
I think that there was a right rear wheel nut problem, and they couldn't get the wheel back on. And he obviously came out of the back of the track.
And you know, I wonder about that because when we've seen him, those wheels are right there. Everything's prepared, double and triple checked. Tire pressures, just everything about it. I find that really interesting that they had an issue there. You know, that think about how many wheel attachment issues we've had this season.
Yeah, it does seem, maybe because it's Haas, because we had those two in Australia, but it does seem like we've had a lot more than usual. But all right, well, let's go ahead and take another quick break. We are still hoping to get the mayor of Miami to come on the show here shortly. We're waiting on him to call in, and we're going to talk about the race coming to Miami potentially as soon as 2019. You're listening to Speed City. We're here in Austin, Texas. We'll be back after these messages.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake, featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit austineastkoa.com.
The racetrack, it's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Talk 1370.
Hey, this is Red Rocker Sammy Hagar. You are listening to Speed City. Woo!
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City.
Yeah. Thanks, Sammy. And hey, if you missed it, be sure and check out Access TV. Sammy Hagar's Rock and Roll Road Show. Came through Austin. We hosted them out at the Circuit of the Americas. You'll see Jonathan Green with an appearance in that, interviewing Sammy and talking about the racetrack and what goes on. Then Sammy jumps in a new Ferrari, red, of course. Takes a few laughs on Coda for some fun. So be sure and look at that one. That one is actually titled Dirty White Boys. I'm not sure if that's a reference to Jonathan or what's going on there, but check it out. It was a fun episode to see, especially if you like the Circuit of the Americas and fast cars.
All right, so Spanish Grand Prix today, and Lewis Hamilton with the win, Roman Grosjean with the disastrous first lap, and I was just watching some of the coverage and interviewing Kevin Magnussen, and he wasn't sure. He said the same thing. He said he's just not sure what happened with Grosjean, and obviously that was probably the biggest moment of the race today, with Grosjean spinning But what he said was specifically what I'm referring to is why he never let off the gas and caused the giant plume of smoke. Because not only is that, we saw that it took out Hulkenberg and Gasly,
right,
but some of the other drivers went through. You could see the onboard camera. You saw nothing but smoke. It was like an airplane right. going through a cloud. You couldn't see anything.
And that really poses a lot of issues. Like I said, not only are shrapnel going around, you're very likely to hit something going through there, whether it's shrapnel on the ground or another vehicle.
Yeah, shrapnel on the ground, that's a big one, because I guarantee you there was plenty after Hulkenberg's back wheel got ripped off. So that was that's a big deal. And by the way, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And everybody, if you just watched the Formula One race and you're sitting around watching and listening and go call your mom. Don't forget.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That's something else. But, we did not talk about Alonso and his sipping champagne.
That's true. That's actually a pretty big deal.
So what we're talking about is Alonso went and joined the sports car world as he is pursuing and preparing for like the 24-hour Le Mans, the Indy 500. You know, he's working on this Grand Slam idea. He said that's what he wants to do. And so I think it's going to be really cool. He went and raced the big Spa sports car race. And like I said, he got to sip some champagne. Let's check out what he tells Will Buxton about this.
Definitely a good experience, good fun out there. And I think, after a couple of years not being on the podium, it was nice to be back there to taste the champagne. And it was a great experience. A lot of new things for me, and on the race, on the traffic, on the preparation. But, I really did enjoy, and hopefully we can experience something similar here in F1 in the next couple of months.
Does it make it harder to come back, having tasted that champagne, tasted that success, been up on the top step, knowing that this weekend that's nigh on an impossibility?
No, it's not too hard. This is my life. This is where I belong in a way, into the F1 paddock and race. And, we have some difficulties in terms of performance right now, yes, no doubt. But at the same time, we have high hopes that this can be changed in a short term. And, I think we're still optimistic about this championship. Obviously, performance-wise, we are not in the place we wanted to be. But on the point side and on the Sunday's result, we are extremely happy with how the first races went. So we need to keep that momentum in terms of results, but with a little bit more performance, hopefully coming from this weekend, new package and updates. And
yeah. So, yeah, hoping things did all right this weekend. I think he'll be pleased with it. Could be better, but that's just part of that Grand Slam that he's wanting to hit. The Indy 500, the 24-hour Le Mans, Monaco. He's got it rocking.
He's got it rocking. Well, I'm going to jump back to today's race. One of the other big stories was Sebastian Vettel, of course, making the pit stop, right? And ended up losing a podium because of that. And he had jumped Valtteri Bottas, and we kind of forgot about that. At the very beginning of the race, if you recall, Vettel jumped out. He did a little drafting behind Bottas and got around him early. It's like very first few corners of the race, and ended up losing that because of the pit stop.
Yeah, but I'm going to say one thing. Lewis Hamilton could have done better for his teammate, to be quite honest, in that first lap. As soon as they left the grid, they took off. And they were going along, and he was moving along. Hamilton was moving along. Would have been great if he could have kind of wiped Sebastian Vettel off his tail there and picked up Bottas in the draft instead of Vettel. Vettel capitalized on it very wisely, stuck to him, and that's how he wound up in front of Bottas to begin with. Come on, Ham.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, so he was asked by Sky Sports F1, did he feel that this was the right tactic by the team, right, to take this pit stop? And he said yes, because the advice was that it was not an option to stay out. He said, we were going through tires quicker than the others. And he says, though, obviously it looks different and looks wrong. So he then spent the rest of the race behind Max Verstappen and went from, he was in second place and ended up and fourth and not on the podium. And obviously that was a decision they regretted.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That, you know, you can't argue with tires that are going dead. You're not going to win that argument. Hopefully your team can figure out how to address it and not have them give up so soon. But, you know, they've done that. Ferrari is not one of the ones that is usually out there getting the most out of their tires as far as numbers of laps. It is a tough one to go on. The other is, man, Daniel Ricciardo, the guy I just, you know, pushing him, willing him on to a better finish just doesn't seem to happen for him this year.
My winglet of my microphone just fell off, in case you wondered what that noise was.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be allowed next race.
Hey, I want to talk about something else, too. The Brendan Hartley obviously had that huge crash, right? And ended up having to, that was in the final practice.
Yeah, P3.
But, this, I mean, it literally just ripped the back of the car off. And so he's not, he has to take a new power unit, right? And a new gearbox. So think about how, I mean, they've only got three in a season now. So these become big deals. You know, it's much bigger than every year. So
this just broke off. They couldn't like super glue it back on or something.
I mean, it looked horrific when
it really did.
Well, the crane lifted it up and the back of the car just literally fell off. I thought, well, they're starting from scratch. But Hartley came on and interviewed, no, the chassis is fine. We're going to bolt everything back on and get going. But that's his third. That's his move to his third MGUH and turbo. And so, you know, if it happens again, in other words, he's guaranteed a grid drop when it happens. So that's going to play into, you know, we're in the fifth race of the season now. So that's going to play into it more and more. And I guarantee you that's going to be, you're going to see people talking. That's going to become such a big deal as the season moves on.
Oh, I totally agree. And, you know, here we are again. How do we deal with this? And realizing that they are wanting to limit the engine units in some ways to keep from having Ferrari just, you know, like the old chip commercial, go ahead, eat them, we'll make more. And, you know, to address a budget, it is intended to be a budget restriction on that. So that's part of it. And I'm just not sure how to do it. The other thing is, when you're dealing with these manufacturers, I'm really curious about the methodology for appraising what you've decided they've invested in it if we're going to start throwing more controls around spin caps.
Oh, yeah. It's such a complex issue. And, you know, they're talking about the rules for 2021 and talking to the teams. But what do you do? I mean, because you go to the issue of, if you start saying, all right, well, we're going to have, we're going to limit this, or we're going to limit that, then that takes what to me is one of the funnest, coolest parts of Formula One out.
You get the creativity.
Yeah, the engineering and
All the way down to the winglets on the mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the creativity in these, you know, it's how you use the rules, not how you break them.
Yeah. And there's been so many interesting little, side notes to sidesteps around the rules that teams have done over the years.
Yeah.
But if you start limiting the amount of dollars, tightening the rules and saying, okay, now we're going to have more teams in, we're going to have more engine manufacturers, because yes, it'd be great to have more engine manufacturers like Porsche and Aston Martin building engines for F1.
But sure. The thing I don't like, and it'll be real obvious, I don't like a watch company coming in and suddenly being, you know, kind of titled as the engine, you know, manufacturer or provider. You know, a Tag Heuer, that's not an engine.
It's a tiny little engine.
It's a tiny little engine that does good to move the second hand around for you. But, hey, I do want to say, you know, after what we said about Ricciardo, he set the new record for the track, for the lap.
Oh, he did.
At a 118.441. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And in fact, it's funny because it goes back to the point we were talking about earlier that Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull are pretty evenly matched this season. I mean, I know, and by the way, this was the first 1-2 of the season for Mercedes, which is a good sign. I love that. It's the first time this season
we've had a 1-2.
But it goes to the point is about Ricardo's lap record is that number one, the cars are faster this year, and number two, that it was a Red Bull car that set the fastest lap.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, there was a move that took place. It was early, like somewhere around the early 20s in the lap there, that we saw Bottas coming out of the pits and came in when Vettel and Magnussen were racing. But Vettel was about to pass Magnussen, and he swept over and he crossed the pit exit line. At first, we were like, whoa, you're not supposed to cross that. But in hindsight, it turns out that is okay to cross from the track into the pit line, but not from the pit to the track line.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I saw that. I thought that was the case, especially when there wasn't any immediate
And that's response. Another one of those really important safety measures there that will keep that safe for him, obviously.
Yep. So let's see some of the other accomplishments today for Lewis Hamilton. So he's got now back-to-back wins in 2018, 30 consecutive races in the points. Wow. That's actually, if you think about that, that's pretty amazing. And now most wins from pole in F1 history. Not a bad day at the office for Mr. Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, not bad at all. I'm sure he's pleased with that. I'm sure he's very pleased with that.
And of course, that's his 64th career victory. But as quiet, I mean, as a big a day as it is a victory, very quiet day for him.
Hey, I want to give you an alert that just came out. We may not like this, but the driver and team representative are required to report to the stewards regarding the incident with driver number 8, Romain Grosjean, alleged breach of article, and on and on and on. So Haas has been called to the carpet. We'll let you know if we see an update on that.
Called to the principal's office, yep. We'll see what happens with that. And that was weird, the way he did that, though. And I'm assuming it's got to be with the way he kept his foot on the gas. I mean, what else is it going to be?
We said that immediately is, what were you doing? You know, I can't imagine, you know, short of the car being lifted off the ground somewhat, that he was really getting decent traction the way to throw that. But he was out there, and we'll find out. Like I said, I'll keep an eye out on these alerts and see if we get a response about the calling to the race directors.
All right, well, we need to take another break, and we'll be back to talk some more. I'm going to talk about the little winglets on the Ferrari car too that they have now said that they can't have when we come back from the break. And listen to Speed City back after these messages.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education for 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe, on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Talk 1370.
This is Johnny Rutherford, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Another good tips, huh?
Guy, he has just an old-fashioned sounding voice. I can't really put my finger on that.
That's just a good old Texan.
That is a good old Texan, no. All right, so we went to break. I said I wanted to talk about the new Ferrari mirror holders. The mirror brackets that happen to look like they produce about an extra 100 foot-pounds of downforce.
Sure, sure. So,
anyway, that's going to lead to a bigger conversation.
Yeah,
but
please don't put those on your Honda Civic.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. I like that. Let's see. So Sebastian Vettel, he said when he found out that they are not going to allow them to continue to have those wings that double as mirror mounts, he said, I find this a bit comical. He said, in 2009, we went, let's go aerodynamic, let's have better racing, and so on and so forth. He says, and now, he says, the cars are too slow. Let's put some more aerodynamics, make them more spectacular, and now we want to make them slower again. So there's a lot of validity to what Sebastian Vettel is saying. It's like, come on, are we going to be able to do this? I know they have to decide amongst the rules and everything, but what's best for the sport. But this leads into a bigger conversation, Les. This just happened, actually. So not long ago, between the last two races, where the FIA commission voted through some last-minute changes to the next year's, to the 2019 F1 aerodynamic package to aid overtaking, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of opposition from all the teams. But the proposal to change the front wing end plates to help cars follow each other, along with bigger rear wing flap, and basically all net effect has given a stronger DRS effect. This has all been passed. So next year we're going to have this change.
Sure, and I think that'll be good. You know, one of the things is they have to stay back for a while before they can really get in close to make that pass. They've kind of got to, you know, telegraph it further out, and as they close up on the car, they have to get out further away than they will with this. They're going to be able to get much closer up. They're going to be able to get much closer up behind the car that they're about to pass than they do now. So I think that's going to help matters. It'll make it a little closer in reaching, you know, a critical point of pulling out from behind the car, but I think it's going to help. In the whole passing conversation.
It was interesting. It passed on April 30th, which was the last day when technical changes could be passed without some sort of a bigger majority vote or something. So it was definitely a last-minute thing. And lots of teams a lot of people saying Ferrari, Red Bull, Renault, McLaren, Toro Rosso, and Haas had all voted no. And that Williams was joined by Mercedes, Force India, and Sauber and voted yes. That's funny. Williams and Mercedes voting the same way this season.
Yeah, you don't see that too much. Ha. But anyway, that is definitely one thing.
And, you know, I think this was a direct result to the lack of overtaking early in the season, especially in Australia, which, I mean, that tends to happen there, but that's a big deal. I mean, this is big changes, and you know what, guys? I think we have got a special guest on the phone. In fact, we do.
I think we have to stand up as he enters the room.
That's true. We salute. How do we do this? All right, we want to welcome to the show Mayor Suarez, the mayor of Miami. Mayor, welcome to Speed City.
Oh, wonderful to be with you guys this morning, afternoon.
Hey, I got to say, welcome to the F1 party, sir. I'm glad to hear you've got an invitation engraved, and we are just super excited. Yes, we are here in Austin, Texas. Yes, we're the permanent home with a permanent facility, but Miami, I was there last week. I love your neighborhood, sir.
Oh, it's incredible, you know, to be only one of two cities in the U.S. To be chosen as an F1 city. You know, the most popular sport in the world, the most watched sport in the world, huge economic impact, I know, for Austin. And we're hoping we'll have a similar one in Miami. You know, we feel that we are a global city, and Formula One racing is a global sport. So we think it fits our brand very, very well. And we're excited about this first step that we took, unanimously approving the process of beginning the negotiations to hopefully finalize a race beginning in 2019.
Man, 2019, that would be amazing if you guys could do this so fast. But I got to jump straight to one of the points is that you guys, there's been discussions about, you know, in Austin, when we did it, it was a little differently here. But there's been some discussion about the way the deal might work a little differently, where it'd be more, a little more of a partnership with Formula One. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, you know, we're very blessed. We have Mr. Steve Ross, who owns the Miami Dolphins. He's been very aggressive in the sports realm. You know, he's gotten the Miami Open to move from Key Biscayne to his facility in Miami Gardens. He's very much involved in entertainment. They just did Rolling Loud there yesterday. So, you know, he is the major funder of you know, the opportunity. And, you know, the city is obviously definitely partnering in terms of giving some in-kind services and some help to the Ross family and to the organizers. But it's something that we're excited about. We really think it's going to be a successful, different track, different kind of race. I think the beauty of Formula One is that every single race is different. Every single city is different. And you're not only highlighting the most unique and special cities in the world, but you are highlighting the most powerful cars and the best drivers.
Yeah, well, no doubt, F1, the pinnacle of motorsports. And I would love, I'm picturing the scene in Miami, and it's such a beautiful city in the race like that. But I got to ask you, would you consider the way that Austin has done it? You know, we lived through it here in Austin, and it's made such a big impact on the city in a number of ways. But
billions of dollars for the state.
Yeah, a lot of money for the community. And Austin has done some studies showing all of that. But are you guys expecting an impact to the city both financially and culturally? Let me ask you that, because Austin's become a bit of a race town.
We have, when we are, absolutely. I think that's what's great about this, is that it helps us along the path of diversifying ourselves. And when you're a global city, you know, you want to invite different cultures from around the world. And certainly, you know, we in the 80s went from being sort of monoethnic to polyethnic. And now we're becoming truly, truly diverse. And we're getting investment from all parts of the world. So I think getting a worldwide type of sporting event like the Formula One race is just going to really help us continue to attract the kind of people from across the world, and definitely engage our own residents.
Well, Mayor Suarez, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck in
Absolutely.
This process.
They call me the mayor of the Speed City. I'm telling the mayor of Miami,
he's
congrats.
The real mayor.
Yeah.
It says it's the people
awesome,
of
guys.
Miami. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
I look forward to meeting you guys maybe in October, if not this year, next year for sure.
Sounds Absolutely. Great. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, well, we are done. Thank you for tuning in to Speed City today. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. All right, talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this?
I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.